Father, I thank you for this man. I thank you for the gift that you have given him, and I thank you for his heart to use that gift to glorify your name. I pray that you will give him such inspiration. I thank you for the time that he's put into planning and the just all the thoughts that you've put in his mind to bring to us today. And I ask, Lord, that if you've got a slightly different direction, that you'll just keep him on his toes and help him to be following you, Holy Spirit. And I ask that you'll give us open hearts to receive the truth as you speak out through him. I pray that you'll bless him as he's speaking, that he'll just have an amazing time sharing the word with us. Amen.
Thank you. Okay, so this is my first ever PowerPoint. People keep telling me that I ramble on and I never have anything to look at. So you have something to look at, made by Lydia, because I don't know how to. I couldn't work out how to open new slide. So I said, "You do it, and I'll tell you what I want you to put." So today we're going to talk about down but not out. So, have you ever felt like you've been put down, that you can't get up, or that you've lost? You're at your lowest of your low. You've been beaten up. You've given up. No one's life is as bad as yours. The raffle, here we go. So lots of, you know, have you ever felt like you're in a hole and you're just like, oh, I just want to hide away, I've given up. Well, it's fine, because you're not alone. Because Jesus had hard times too. So it's biblical. Oh, it's working, yay. So in Matthew 4, says this, you probably would have all heard this before, but I'm going to read it anyway. It said, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. 'If you are the Son of God,' he said, 'throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike a foot against a stone.' Jesus answered him, 'It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test.' Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. 'And this I will give you,' he said, 'if you will bow down and worship me.' Jesus said to him, 'Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.' The devil left him and angels came and attended him." So even Jesus got tempted. It says in that the devil led him to the mountain. So, you know, he had to be led by the devil to allow the devil to tempt him. You know, at any point he could have just said, jog on. But he had to go through that trial, had to go through the testing. And Jesus is just a human, you know. He's the Son of God, but he is a human. He felt hunger, he felt pain, he felt the cold, he felt tiredness. After 40 days and 40 nights of not eating, I would be the most grumpiest person on the planet. You know, Jesus is hungry, you know, Jesus is cold. And it says that even when the devil left him, the angels came and they attended him. They had to tend to him, which suggests that actually Jesus had gone through the ringer a little bit. He needed a bit of tending to. It wasn't the angels came and everything was all right. Jesus was fine. They had to tend to him. So yeah, but Jesus went through struggles. And there's other stories like David. David was told by God that he would be king. But he didn't become king straight away. You know, Saul was the real king of the land at that time. And long story short, without going through the whole passage of David, was that Saul and his armies hunted David. Saul wanted him to die. Saul wanted to kill David. And some scientists and people that study the Bible and all that, they reckon it was somewhere between 7 to 10 years that he was hunted for. Which is a long time. It's not like a week. Can you imagine having to hide from someone for 7 years, say, when they said, when you've already been told you're going to be king? You think this isn't right. So he had to go through trials. And he, you know, and this picture is good for that, because it shows actually, one, David hid in a cave, so I think a rock's quite a good... But, you know, he was told that he could get to the other side of it, You know, it's easy to go round, but he had to push through it. He had to step between the rock and the hard place, if you will. Like, oh, I want to be king. I can get through it. I can go round it. But I've got to push through it. I need to persevere through this. And it must have been tough. Oh, when you've got an army chasing you. You've got Saul and his army trying to hunt you down. Now, do you ever feel like your troubles are like you're against an army? One man against an army. You ever feel like everything is just too much? So David had a literal army trying to find him. So suddenly our worries aren't necessarily so big when you've got an army of Vikings, aren't you, Dan? They weren't Vikings, but I couldn't find a picture of an army for some reason. So we went for Vikings because they look scary. Like Steve. So what do you do when you're knocked down? When you're in your lowest point, what do you do? I've got some examples there. Do you take it out on loved ones? Do you drink? No, Helen didn't take it out on loved ones. Do you drink? Do you hide? Do you eat and get fat? Do you get angry? Do you cry? Do you beat yourself up? Do you sleep? And there's some funny pictures there. Do you know, I just want to fall asleep and not deal with anything. I can't adult. Please don't make me adult. I'm a dog hiding from a cat. It's like your dog, Sylv. You know, what do you do when you're at this place? Or do you do others that aren't up there? We all have something that we turn to when we're angry, when we can't face the problem head on. But why do we do that? Because it's the easiest thing to do. Sometimes it's just easier to hide. Can't bother to deal with my life today. I'm going to stay at home and call in sick to work because I've got too much work to do. Or you don't do that, do you? Okay. Are you going to just not deal with your problems? But why do we do that? The Bible says, Romans says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Why hide? Why cry? Why eat? Why be scared? If you know that God is for you, who could be against us? You know, like David and the armies, God was for him, so he didn't get killed then, did he? Isaiah 41 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So again, don't be dismayed, don't be scared, don't be worried. I'm with you. I've got your back, Jack. Again, in Romans, it says, for I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So really, your problems aren't that big compared with what you've got to come. With the glory you've got to come. In comparison to that, your problems that you've got today, when you get to heaven one day, when you're with God, all of the stuff that happened down here, you're going to think, oh, it was well worth it. You know, it just would be worth it because you will be with God. And my favourite of the verses, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Now that is just sums it up, really. Remain steadfast under trial, which basically, trials and tests, they always end at some point. When you was at school, or even, when you was at college, or even at work, you might have tests that you have to deal with. There's always a point when it comes to an end of that test. There's always an outcome to a trial. There is always an end. Sometimes, the tests feel like they can go on forever, and that there's a no way out. So like this. How many of you don't know when you're getting to the end of it? You could be that man at the top, ploughing through with a long way to go. You just keep going, you'll get there. Or you could be the man at the bottom. You're so close, you haven't stepped back enough to look at the full picture or to persevere all the way through it and have trust all the way through it, that you're so close to the diamond, you're so close to the end. You've given up and walked away. How many times have we done that? in our lives, prolonged trials, because we haven't faced them. You don't face something, the next day it's still there. You've got to deal with it somehow. But we can't always see that while we're going through them. I feel this topic, this down but not out and getting through trials and trusting God, has been really, it's been put on my heart to talk about. It's something dear to me, because over the past year or so, I've had a lot of trials, a lot of things that I've had to trust in God with. And I haven't always trusted God straight away through it. Started just like last year or so with my mum. You know, I found out my mum was gay, and that was really difficult for me to deal with, because everything that I was taught and grew up being taught and or in the Bible and stuff like that, it was really hard to understand that and correspond that with my faith. And dealing with that, and didn't talk to my mum for a long time because of that, because I couldn't deal with the problem, I hid from it. It just made that problem longer. 8-9 months down the line, I wasn't talking with my mum. Not because of my mum, because of me, because of my problems, because I couldn't face that head on. And then my youngest brother, he had a few hard times and was getting knocked about by God a bit, and going through trials with his friends, and was in a really bad place. And that, me and my family were really tight. So that beat me up. I didn't know what to do with that one. I turned around and was just like, right, God, I need to give it to you, because I can't help him. And I had to write a song, and then I found out my youngest sister was pregnant. It's another one. I'm just telling you my life story, but I don't care. You know, it's just, and that took me a while to realise, actually, that's a gift from God. A child is a gift from God. But as an older brother, I was like, right, where is he? Where does he live? Let's sort him out. But, you know, got over that. You know, and that was something that I had to deal with again. And then recently, with my great nan passed away, and that was another hit. So basically, what I'm trying to get at this is, the devil knows your weaknesses. Whether it's family, money, work, whatever it is. The devil knows your weaknesses. When you're down, he's not just going to say, oh, I'll give you a break now. He's going to keep hitting you at times, you know. He knows where you're weak. He knows that I'm weak with my family. He knows that's where he can affect me, because he can attack me and put me down how much he likes. And I'll be like, come on, bring it on. As soon as something goes wrong with my family, I'm a mess. I don't know what to do. And the only thing you could do is, when you get knocked down, get back up. Fight it head on. You know, we've all got something that is a weakness, and one thing that we can try and do is work out what to do when we get attacked at that weakness. You might get attacked by something now, 10 years down the line, get attacked by the same thing, you still don't know how to deal with it. So it's something that we all need to try and work out. But like it says in the test at the end of James, it says that you will get the crown and the glory of God. So stand firm through that test, because there's a light at the end of the tunnel. You know, you're so close to those diamonds, you never know how far you can get through. You need to just push on. So stand firm. Corinthians, it says, every test that you have experienced is the kind that normally comes to people. So it's been done before. You know, people are, you know, we're not a new thing. We've been here for many, many years. You know, it's the kind that normally comes to people. But God keeps his promise. He will not allow you to be tested beyond your power to remain firm. Now, he will not allow you to be tested beyond your power to remain firm. At the time you are put to the test, he will give you the strength to endure it, and so provide you with a way out. Now, you might be thinking, well, what a load of rubbish that is. When I say I'm going through a tough time, and someone says me this verse, you know, we'd probably all be sent it at some point, or if you haven't, wait for it, you'll be watching for it now, it will come at one point. And you look at it and you think, oh, shut up. do you know what I'm going through right now? Do you know, I'm weak, I'm a crumbling mess, I can't. But no, he does. Sometimes you forget, you think, oh, no one knows me better than me. God knows you more than you know yourself. God knows you better than yourself. You know, you'll find that extra bit of strength that you can muster through all the hardship, I guarantee it. You know, if you rely on God, he will not give you more than you can handle. And he will always give you a way out. But we also need to know not to turn our backs on him. You know, through this, we need to not turn our backs on God and go to our hiding place, start swearing, start eating. If someone invites you out for a meal, go. I'm not saying stop eating completely. But no, you need to not turn your backs on him. And when times are tough, you need to give it to him. You need to give it over to God and say, God, this is tough. I ain't dealing with it. There you go. Sort it out for me. And you need to really let go of that in your heart. You need to really trust that God has got it for you. See, my favourite psalm, my favourite verse in the whole Bible, this is whenever I'm going through trouble or anything, I read this. Whenever I'm going to write a sermon, whenever I'm going to do something in jam, anything, I always go to this verse first. It was written by David. The same David that was hunted by Saul. It was written after his trials with Saul, after he got through it, become king. And it just glorifies God to the fullest. I wasn't going to read it all, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's a bit long, but it's great. It's Psalm 18. If you've got your Bibles and you want to read along, please do. I'll wait a minute. If you haven't got your Bibles, you can just listen to my voice. So yeah, it's Psalm 18. Should have done a sword drill, really, and made you all put the Bibles on your head when you've got it. So it reads, I love you, O Lord, my strength. It's just a great start. I love you, O Lord, my strength. And he's just got through the hardship, and you're just going to start, right, how do I start this? Who do I love? God. I love you, God. You're my strength. It's a great way to start. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is in my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me, the torrents of destruction overwhelmed me, the cords of the grave coiled around me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple he heard my cries. He heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, clouds advanced with hailstones and bolts of lightning. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot with arrows and scattered the enemies. Great bolts of lightning and routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed, and the foundations of the earth laid bare. At your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of your breath from your nostrils, he reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster. But the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord was dealt with me according The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanliness of my hands, he has rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not done evil by turning from my God. All his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. I have been blameless before him and have kept myself from sin. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. I'm going to stop there, actually. It was a long passage, but I just wanted to get to the point that I think it's beautiful the way he paints that picture with his word. I mean, it's just a poem. You know, God didn't come down with flaming nostrils and stuff as such, but to him, he did. Do you know, in his mind, that picture. Do you know how many of us go through struggles and yet forget to praise God at the end of it? Now, how many times do we get through something and we're like, oh, that was good, thanks God. You might say thanks God, you know, in your head, cheers mate, and then you leave it there. That wasn't enough for David. He had to go and write a song about it. He had to go and praise him through one thing that he could do, and that was write poems. Through poetry. And he, do you know, through the depths of cord, the cords of death entangling him, you know, in the darkness place, he brings you right there. And it's okay. Through the depths of my disaster, I was attacked. It's okay. Because next, God came down, God sorted it out for me. And I just think that's amazing. Every time I read that, I get a bit of shivers, because to me, that verse is just incredible. So, what do you do after God helps you through it? Do you know, once you've given it over to him and you realise, actually, God, there might be a light at the end of the tunnel, what do you do? Do you leave it? Or do you go back to him and really, really say thank you for help? And I love this. The harder the struggle, the more glorious the triumph. Now, how true is that? You know, without Jesus going through the most struggle any human being has ever been through, from my eyes, we wouldn't have triumph over death. He had to die. At that point, people thought there was no hope. That's it. Game over. 3 days later, he come back from death. Because of his struggles, because of having to carry the cross, being whipped, and all the struggles before that, we now have, you know, the gift of being here today and saying, actually, we've got a Lord and Saviour. We have a way out, because He's laid that before us. He's forgiven us from a sin. No, we need to use our struggles, and when we get through it, to edify God. No, through this triumph. The harder you go through, the bigger your megaphone is. Do you know, I like that phrase of using your struggles as a megaphone. When you're out, how many times do you hear people's testimonies, or people saying, oh, I was a drug addict, I was a murderer, I was this, I was that. Or even, you know, I was in the pit, I couldn't get out of bed, I was just in such a bad state, I didn't know where I stood with the world. Come up here and say, God has rescued me from that. I'm here today telling you that God has rescued me from that. You naturally feel like, wow, that is the God that I know. And it's not a different God for them to you, it's the same God for you, and you need to pick that up. All those little things in your life that you've forgotten about in the past, that God got you through, because you thought you got through them yourself, you need to pick them back up. Think about how you can proclaim that as your megaphone. Now, put all those little struggles together. Before you know it, you've got one hell of a story that God's dragged you through. You know, all the struggles that you could have anticipated if God hadn't rescued you beforehand. Do you know, really, really do use it as your megaphone to edify God. And not only to edify God, but to lift up each other. If we don't share our testimonies in church, if we don't share the struggles we've been through and what God has brought us through, how can we look up to each other? Do you know, if I have a problem and I'm getting beaten up about something, do you know, and I've heard a testimony from someone who's been through the same thing, I know who to go to. Do you know, what did you do in this point? Oh, I gave it to God. Okay, anyone can say that. That's what you do need to do. You can say, okay, but you've been through it as well. How did you feel? How did you give it to God? Did you have a coping mechanism? Did you have something where you had to read this certain verse every day for, you know, to help you focus, or whatever it might be? You need to actually share so you know who to turn to. And also for yourself, it's good to do it. Don't be scared to come up and use the microphone. We're all family. Don't do it now because I'm talking. But no, seriously, do it. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So, there we go. He is with you. Don't be dismayed. I'm your God. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to uphold you with my righteous hands. And that's basically it. Don't be worried about anything. Oh, I haven't got money. I haven't got this. Don't worry about it. You've got a house. You're not going to be homeless. I will sort you out. Put your trust in me. I've got your back. That's as simple as it is. If that was written in Chavvy nowadays, it would just say, "Got your back, Jack. Don't worry about it. Give it to me. Sort it out." That is essentially what God will do for you. But you need to take that time to give it to him. You can't just say, "Oh, I'm going through trouble. God, sort that out. Cheers," and then go home. And do you know, what is that going to do? You need to really, get on your knees before him. But do what you need to do to give it up to him. Write a song, draw a picture, do what you do. But give it to God. Take your time and afterwards listen to God. Take that time in meditation or just sit there and listen to what he's saying. Because he might say, "This is your way out. Do this." How can you do that if you don't stop and listen? So, but then once you've given it to him and you've waited, you've listened, and God said, "Don't worry, I've got it." Don't worry. Don't be going to work and moaning about it to everybody. Don't be coming to church like I do and moan about it to everybody. Yeah, you can say to them, "I'm going through the struggle at the minute, but I know God's got it." They might say, "Oh, can I pray with you about it?" Yeah, brilliant. Do that. But don't go, "Oh, there's no hope. I can't do it anymore." What, do that to God maybe, but don't come in here and do that, because God will support you. I don't know if you can read this. You can't read this, can you? Shall I read it? You've probably all heard it before. Footprints in the Sand. Written by a lady called Mary Stevenson. I think it's brilliant. "One night, I dreamed a dream. As I walked along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonging to me, and one belonging to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. 'Lord, you said once, I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during my saddest and most troublesome times in my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why. When I needed you the most, you would leave me.' He whispered, 'My precious child, I love you and I will never leave you. Never, ever. During your trials and testings, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you.'" I don't know if you've heard that before or not, but that is powerful. And how true is that? That was the point where he knew that it might be getting a bit too much for you. "So now I'll take it over. I will carry you. I will nurture you through that point. And I'm not going to carry you all the way." He said there was different points where there was only one set of footprints. "I'm going to put you back down. Once we're through it together, we'll walk and walk and walk and walk until it's too much for you again. Then I will carry you again. But then I'll put you back down." And he does that because we need to learn. We need to learn to trust God. The sun wouldn't feel so good if it didn't rain. I'm going to do a 50 Cent song, but I don't mean to. But it's so true. And he says, joy wouldn't feel so good if it wasn't for pain. And how true is that? God wouldn't feel so good if we didn't have a little taste of the darker side of that spiritual fight. Maybe you will. Sorry if you do. But for me, I know once I get through a trial, and I can say, God brought me through that. for me, it just does so much. I mean, we do all go through struggles. We do all have the points where you and God are like that. Then you're 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 like that. Put your hand up, Paul. Then you're like that. No. Then you get so far away. And you keep going, oh, God, I want you back. God, I want you back. It's like, come on, come on, come on. Oh, but I need to deal with this. And God weeps over that. He really does. And I've got a little video. I don't know if we could turn the lights off so we could see it, or close curtains or whatever. It's quite dark. Don't worry about closing curtains, guys. It's fine. I'll do it, shall I? We need the curtains closed. Oh, my son. So, while you're watching this video, just think of where you can relate it in your life, where you can... where you can compare that to your life and the struggles you're going through. If I cry, I'm sorry. powerful video. That video is powerful, is what I meant to say. You know, we can all relate to that video, I'm sure. We're all at some point in that, whether we're at the beginning, when we're close to him before a trial, or when we're slowly but surely being pulled away. But rest assured, you know, that girl, when she was trying to fight through, I bet she thought, I'm trying, God, why are you not there helping me? God knew when it was enough, and he stepped in and was like, right, that's enough. And, you know, God will hold you. Close in prayer. We might have time. We've got 5 minutes, it's fine. Do you know, I've not done this before, but I think it'd be good if you're going through any trials at the minute, or there's something that you're really struggling with, you want to give it over to God. If you'd like to just either raise your hand or stand up, and I think those that are around should just pray for that person to help them give it over to God. It would be a nice way to finish. So if you're going through any trials, please do just stand or raise your hands. It's not the point to be shy. We're all perfect then, so I'll close in prayer. But if you do want any prayer about anything, do we'll be prayer at the back. So yeah, just go to the back, and so I was too scared to put my hand up, but please help me give it to God. Or if you think about it for any point in the week, do just come back next week and say, look, I need to give this over to God, and I'll be happy to pray for anybody, and I'm sure all the prayer team would. So if you'd like to bow your head in prayer. God, I thank you that you are there for us. That through the struggle, you know when we've had enough, that you will come to our rescue, and that one day we'll be with you in glory, Lord. I just pray for anyone here today that is going through struggles or trials, as we all do, that you will bless them, that you will help them give it over to you, and that you will respond to their prayers, Lord, that you will help them to be patient if you're doing it in your time and not ours, as you so often do, that you will just help us to remain strong and faithful. I just pray that as we go throughout the day, that you will bless our lives, Lord, that you will help us stand further, that you will really just touch every single one of our hearts, Lord Jesus. Amen.